You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
Let's get to Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Top story brought to you by promsports.ca. Get all your S jerseys, tees, signed and unsigned memorabilia today at promsports.ca. Woodley, are you a baseball guy? You ever go outside and watch the games? Do you ever go to a Vancouver Canadiens game?
Vancouver Canadiens games are fantastic. Nooners at the Nat. I don't get out to as many as I used to pre-kids. But, to make a long story short, a passion for, love for baseball is what got me into sports writing. I actually was a computer science and statistics double major. What's that line in Jerry Maguire? Breakdown, breakthrough. Had one of those. We'll call it a breakthrough. Hopped in my car, drove to every major league baseball park in the United States. It was Wrigley Field where I met a writer from the Tribune. And just while doing those courses in computer science and stuff, I had actually taken English as a minor. And then it kind of clicked that this guy got paid to write about sports for a living and that might be something I should look into. And so I actually applied for UVic Journalism School from a frat house in Chicago. Guys I met, bleacher bums I met watching a game at Wrigley, out in the left field bleachers. They were all over Bonds the whole time. And from there. So yes, I do have a love for baseball, and that's what actually made me a sports writer and got me into hockey. I actually had a beer with Ferguson Jenkins. I still have the signed ball across the street from Wrigley Field during that trip, and that was kind of part of the day that spurned me to sports writing.
Nice.
So yeah, if I like baseball, you think you're getting my whole life history. Sorry.
Yeah, kid. Yeah, who knew? God, feel free to keep it within 50 words next time, all right, Woodley? We're into the month of August now, and goaltenders start to get on the ice more frequently, and some have even gone earlier than ever before. We know a lot of players we've had on the show this summer are getting on the ice a lot earlier than they ever have before, just working not so much on a lot of conditioning, but just on drills and fine-tuning, skill development, different things. Goalies, obviously, have done it for quite a while. So you get out there with the goalies into August, and is there like a timeline? Is there a certain thing they work on first in August and then add more things? How does it go?
Well, like you said, goalies have been sort of working through the summer for a lot longer, and increasingly players are doing the same. I'm actually at a camp right now called Net 360, put on by Alpha Hockey Agency. And with the beauty of this camp is it's goalies and shooters. Which the goalies like to have good shooters, but they've also got a shooting coach named Tim Turk who comes out. So the shooters are getting tips and skill development shooting on NHL goalies. And I'm talking names like Andrew Ladd, Justin Schultz is out shooting today, Tyler Myers. So high-end shooters, they're working on their craft. They've got a shooting coach there. The goalies are working on their craft. You know, these guys have mostly been on the ice already in July. And the first thing you want to do is you work on movement. That's kind of always the start. Listen, position stops pucks, or at least puts you in a place where you can. And that all starts with movement habits. We've seen some changes. You know, I've talked in the past about some of the newer tracking techniques. And a lot of people think that they are all about, you know, off the release and shots. But the reality is they're more so about movement and the trigger for proper, the most efficient sort of biomechanical way. And guys are working on that in July, Jason, but that's where it all starts. It's all about movement out of the gate. Get your feet moving, get your skating correct, maximum efficiency. You know, and obviously you're going to throw some shots in there, but what you're looking at as a coach and what these guys are trying to fine tune at this time of year is all about movement patterns.
Anything jump out at you the first few days as far as any new movement patterns for certain guys that they're trying to work on?
Well, I mean, again, it's interesting. We this camp isn't necessarily about it, but the tracking stuff has become a big part of sort of the new evolution of goaltending. And, increasingly more and more coaches are learning it from you know, from coaches who have worked directly with the guy up here in Kelowna who's behind it. And he's not, you know, necessarily a part of this camp, but has people that work with him that are here, and that's Lyle Mast. And I am seeing that change. I saw it at Hockey Canada. We talked about it, where they've brought it in as sort of a foundation. And, you know, it's funny. We got up Jenny Nabokov here as a coach this week, and it's kind of what old is new again. And so we're watching not just the NHL guys. There's six NHL guys here, and then a bunch of juniors and minor pros, half dozen of those. And you can sort of, you know, frankly, video doesn't lie, and you can sort of, I can see it naked eye on the ice, the difference between a guy who does it well and a guy who kind of doesn't, and the difference in the delays in getting to set, how much opening and closing there is in their movements. When they do it properly versus when they don't. And so that to me is a trend. That's something that I'm seeing other coaches pick up on here and elsewhere. And Nabokov was all over it today. I mean, there's a guy who, you know, as old school as they come, and yet a lot of this actually tied to what they used to do. And so it made perfect sense. And I guess a great way to sum it up is, we can see poor movement. Everybody can see what poor movement looks like. You see, the when I make a T-push across the crease, is the back leg dragging behind me? And then when I arrive at my new spot, do I have to catch that back leg up and set myself into a squareness on the puck, kind of build my coverage after I arrive? Or the new way is to kind of, if you track properly and the way you sort of early movements with your head can trigger what we would call early angle, and then when you make that push and arrive, you keep your blades under you more, and you're getting there set, and you're getting there square. And these are things that Dustin Schwartz in Edmonton with the Oilers and working with Cam Talbot, these are things that he's big on. Absolutely, this is a trend where I can see, it's like night and day between the two different sides of it, but it is a trend that more and more people are trying to get to that other side, because you can see the time savings, you can see how much earlier guys are set and square. And then if you get their set and square early, you allow to sort of build better tracking into your save and then into your post-save recovery. And then the other thing this camp has is there's a trainer, Adam Francilia, who is so far ahead of the curve, it's kind of scary. And a lot of his off-ice workouts are tied to that proper rotation, that proper movement. And so it's all everything these guys are doing on the ice are supported off the ice by it biomechanically. And it's just been a fascinating experience to kind of see that trend and see, you know, you got a trainer on the ice and guys are going into certain positions on the post, and he can see where a tight hip flexor is leading to a lack of coverage down around the foot, down around the ankle, because of the way the chain works. And all of that chain, of course, ties to the head and how you move. So, you know, again, I think that is a trend that continues in the NHL, and one that I expect, you know, despite some people being dismissive of it early, again, once you see the video, it really doesn't lie, and I think it's a trend that will continue.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. When you see that that's a trend that continues, do you see a goalie who should be incorporating this more in their game?
Oh, it's a long list, to be honest with you. But that's the thing. What I'd love to see, and this is where I applaud Hockey Canada for at least starting this process, and let's see how much they continue it. What I'd love to see is kids being taught this at an early age. I mean, the way a T-push is taught in Canada by most people in North America, actually pretty much in a lot of places, we actually teach a move as basic as a T-push in a way that creates delays, that causes problems with the hips. So that's where I mean, the problem at the higher levels, Jason, is that's been so ingrained. So for me to say, yeah, I see a lot of guys that I think could be better because of this. Where I have to be careful with that is, you know, some guys are good the way they are. Could moving differently make them a little more efficient? Yes. But how easily do we remove the patterns that have been developed over X number of years in the NHL and the muscle memory that's there? It's not like it's easy to learn something from scratch compared to erase an old habit. And so I've seen a lot of different guys that I think are better for it. But it's hard to make that blanket statement that certain guys, Eddie Lack is a guy who, when I watched him every summer, he was better for it. I mean, the video, again, you look at the video and it's like how much better he moved. But a month into the season, it seemed to disappear, or he maybe would overthink about it at some times. And so to saying that it looks better on video and knowing that it makes you more efficient, you got to be really careful. That's why I'm not a coach, because some guys, it might, as much as it may make them more efficient, if they're overthinking, you know, there are other aspects where it might not be a positive for them. But, you know, biomechanically, I'll be honest with you, it's a pretty long list. I wouldn't even know where to start in terms of guys that could be better for it.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, unearthed anything when it comes to the arm and chest protectors?
I'm pretty – well, nothing firm other than it's not happening at the start of the year. I mean, here we are 2 years later, and I can firmly say there will be no changes. There seems to be an increased expectation that, like last year, if there is going to be a change, that they – will do it mid-season, and I've already talked to you about, you know, how much more involved and potentially more dangerous a chest and arm is compared to pants, and how they better be careful with it and test it properly. But we're what is it, August 10th today?
9th.
And I'm on the ice with six NHL guys, and they're all wearing the same stuff they had last year, and they don't even have test sets. So this is not happening to start the season. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen. It'll have to be in the season, but I expect more pushback if there's any safety concerns on chest and arm than we got on pants. Let's put it that way.
If they were going to limit the chest protector, where, like, I look at some goalies and I see certain areas where they go down in the butterfly, and all of a sudden their shoulder pads come above them, and they're basically just protecting air. They're not actually protecting the body. Are goalies still cheating with that? Like, some of the goalies were really cheating on their old pants. Is it a big problem?
No, I listen, nobody's cheating, because frankly you can't. I mean, every single piece of equipment. I was just in the locker room, and it's funny, happened to look over and see, because there was a fresh chest and arm in there, and CK Whitmore's autograph on it. Every single piece of equipment goes through the NHL office. And if there are any changes made, like the fines, as much as they haven't never been used, never been issued, the punishment is severe if you get caught. And so guys get approval on any modifications they make. So the issue here is, are there some sizing charts? B, are there some, the way things fit when you go into certain stances where they, like you said, they do pop up or they do stick out, or an edge is squared instead of rounded. Those are the little nips and tucks that I fully expect them to make. But I don't think, short of completely reinventing the wheel and hiring someone to basically start from scratch and figure this out, we're not talking about massive adjustments here. You need coverage. That puck is coming at a rapid rate of speed, and there is not a lot of flesh between bone around the rib cage. So you need to have some protection built in. And so do guys look for certain brands or certain fits that make them look bigger? Absolutely. But no one's cheating, because those have all been approved. So you're going to almost, if you really want to solve this, you're almost going to have to NASCAR it and have the NHL build a prototype that everybody has to stick to. But even then, that sounds easy.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, hundreds of pieces, hundreds of different patterns that are cut and sewn and put together to make a chest protector. And then you have all the different shapes and sizes of goaltenders. I mean, one size does not fit all. So we've heard them talk in the past about making it like a custom-tailored suit. And again, short of building one-offs, because don't forget, there's a manufacturing process here. You know, these are not hand-cut, hand-crafted for these goalies. These are sized, and yeah, some things are customized for them, but for the most part, these are manufactured pieces. And making change in that process, making change to, yeah, there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution, I don't think, and turning it into that, you know, that bespoke custom made suit type of approach is, if that's where they go, then I think you'll see the costs rise significantly. I'm not sure how teams would feel about that, because you can go to Men's Warehouse or you can go get a custom fit, custom stitch, custom crafted suit. And I think, you know, the cost of that is two or three times more. So, if that's where they want to go, that's fine. But for now, all I know is they're not getting there this year. I would be surprised if it happens during the season, but it's certainly, from what I'm seeing now, not happening to start it.
Any goalies, one last one for you, Kev. Goalies that you think, not bounce back years, but maybe a potential breakout year? Is there a goalie? Because I know we've talked about Varlamov maybe bouncing back. Is there a goalie?
Oh, hey. I might have to take that one back.
Okay.
I got to be honest. I might have to take the Varley one back. I saw some video of him skating in Russia that was like, we talked about opening and closing and not arriving set and square and having to build everything once you get there.
Yeah.
It was not pretty. So I might have to.
Okay.
We'll see. It could have been, for all I know, it could have been his first time on the ice. He was testing new gear. Who knows? But you don't want to judge by one video. But it scared me enough that I was like, man, I wish I never said that on the air.
Hey, man, it's all good. It's all good.
I'm honest.
Is there any goalies that, you think are maybe poised for a breakout year?
Interesting enough, on the bounce back subject, but he's looked good like this for the past two summers, and then a month into the season has disappeared. Eddie Lack looks like a goalie right now. Again, he looks like a big goalie again. That's interesting. Breakout. A guy who quietly had an exceptional finish to the season last year after having some adjustments going to new place. And obviously these guys they're on the top of my mind because I'm watching them right now. But if you look at the numbers that James Reimer posted down the stretch for the Florida Panthers last year, there was an adjustment there, a new team, new city, a lot of different things going on. But watching him now and seeing sort of the progression for him with some of this new stuff, I could see him. And obviously Roberto Luongo's there as well and still an exceptional goalie and a guy who is not going to give up ice time easily. But I like a lot of what I'm seeing out of James Reimer right now. And he's a guy who, some of the advanced numbers especially would tell you has been, a top-end guy. I don't want to say like a top whatever, but he's been a very high-end guy, maybe more so than the public opinion is for a while now. And that's why Florida signed him to the deal they did. And I think I don't think he's reached his potential yet. I think there's still more, and I think you might see more signs of that this year, even especially after the finish he had last season.
Kev, as always, we appreciate it. Look forward to chatting with you next week. Have a good one.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com.